ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 35 एंड 36। फर्स्ट टेक्स्ट नंबर 35। मधुकार महासर्पौ लोकेस्मिन्नो गुरुत्तमौ वैराग्यं परितोषं च प्राप्ता यच्छिक्षया वयम्। द बी एंड द पाइथन आर टू एक्सलेंट स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर्स हु गिव अस एक्सेम्पलरी इंस्ट्रक्शंस रिगार्डिंग हाउ टू बी सैटिस्फाइड बाय कलेक्टिंग ओनली अ लिटिल एंड हाउ टू स्टे इन वन प्लेस एंड नॉट मूव। टेक्स्ट 36। विरागः विरागः सर्वकामेभ्यः शिक्षितो मे मधुव्रतात् कृच्छ्राप्तं मधुवत्वित्तां हत्वाप्यन्यो हरेत्पतिम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From the bumblebee, I have learned to be unattached to accumulating money. For although money is as good as honey, anyone can kill its owner and take it away. Purport. The honey gathered in the comb is taken away by force. Therefore, one who accumulates money should realize that he may be harassed by the government or by thieves or even killed by enemies. Especially in this age of Kali Yuga, it is said that instead of protecting the money of the citizens, the government itself will take away the money with the force of law. The learned Brahmana had therefore decided that he should not accumulate any money. One should own as much as he immediately needs. There is no need to keep a big balance at hand, along with the fear that it may be plundered by the government or by thieves. So this is a beautiful section from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing in great detail duties of different persons in different walks of life and what one must apply. So these two shlokas describe about satisfaction and especially with regards to earning of wealth. So the Shastras give us the key to get out of this material existence. The material desires within the core of the conditioned soul's heart are responsible for binding him life after life. When we want someone to escape, we want someone to open a lock, and suppose there is a number lock, and we want them to actually open it, then we will communicate in a very simple way. So we'll tell them the number is, 1111, open it. So the message is very clear, it is simple to understand, and the person who hears it also knows what to do. But when we don't want that person to open, and we ourselves are not very sure what the number is, then we may say that, the number is 2 square, 5 square, plus 5, 8, plus 85, minus 365 divided by square root of 485. Now figure out. Now how is it possible for anyone to comprehend such a complex set of numbers? So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving the solution very simple. Message is very simple. But there are those who do not understand this message and do not want to communicate. They make it more complex. So the Bhagavatam is describing in a very simple way that material world is a place of misery, and only by detachment you can become free from this misery. And by going to the spiritual world, one will become free from all anxieties. And therefore the methods are given of how one can become detached. And one of the most intense attachments which is described is the attachment to wealth. So therefore the message is very clear. The message is absolutely simple, and all one has to do is understand it, appreciate it and apply it. So in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a series of verses describing about the predicament of Avanti Brahman and how Avanti Brahman got bewildered because of the influence of wealth. And in one of those verses, it is described the various effects which wealth has. The ill effects of wealth at various stages. So in that one verse it is said, Arthasya sadhane siddhe utkarshe rakshane vyaye kamopabhoga ayasa trasah chinta matirninam. So beautiful verse, and at every stage how money can actually create excruciating pain. So arthasya means of money, sadhane. So the first is while earning. While earning, there is tremendous amount of anxiety, tremendous amount of pain. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the pastime of King Muchukunda. And King Muchukunda was such a great king who travelled to different parts of the universe, performing his duties, protecting the demigods. And he was given a lot of wealth. He gives his realization and he says, Pramattam uchair itikritya chintaya pravruddha lobham visheshu lalasam. Tvam apramatta sahasabhipadyate kshul lelihano ivakumantaka. He says, Pramattam uchair, when a conditioned soul has a desire to enjoy in so many ways, itikritya chintya, his plan making knows no bounds. Pravruddha lobham visheshu lalasam, and when develops a desire to enjoy more and more because of the influence of greed. Visheshu lalasam, and he desires to accumulate all kinds of sense objects. Tvam apramatta sahasabhipadhyase. And he says, but we may be completely engrossed in the task of earning wealth. We may be engrossed in the task of enjoying sense gratification. But the Lord is absolutely alert to His task. Tvam apramatta says, my dear Lord, you are so alert, just like a snake. Kshul lelihano ivakhum antaka. So the example is given as, just like a snake who is hungry, its tongue comes out and it is continuously licking. So like that, the Lord in the time factor is continuously looking for an opportunity to strike. But the conditioned soul who is engrossed in trying to accumulate objects of the senses, he is not aware of this. Just like Iva Akhum. Akhum means a rat. So a tiny rat who is completely engrossed in its own world, trying to accumulate bits and pieces, doesn't see the coming of this snake. And suddenly the snake strikes and swallows this rat. Shul lelihano ivakhum antaka. So it just swallows that at the right opportunity. So therefore it says that, my dear Lord, the conditioned soul may be completely absorbed in sense gratification, but death can appear at any moment. Only the conditioned soul may have that fantasy that I will not be affected. Of course, in our kitchen before, we used to have rats which were so big that they could chase away cats also. So that is simply a feeling that I can become so powerful, so strong, time factor will not affect. Therefore, in the process of earning, there is tremendous amount of anxiety. Arthasya sadhane. Someone came to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, there are many people who come to ISKCON simply to take. So Prabhupada said, very good. We want them to take. And the devotee got bewildered. Said, we want them to take? How? And Srila Prabhupada said, we want them to take our rules and regulations. Because that is what the conditioned souls lack. So with a desire to enjoy sense gratification, one is so engrossed earning, making money, creating wealth. That is the main rule which people follow. And they have no time to follow any other rules and regulations. So one of the most important aspects of the community of devotees is to provide a facility by which people can come in contact and actually learn the importance of the goal of life and follow rules and regulations in the practice of bhakti. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was talking to one of the life members. And Prabhupada was asking this life member, what do you do when you get up early in the morning? And the gentleman said, after getting up, I take my breakfast. Prabhupada said, even pigs do that. What is the difference between you and the pig? Therefore, the goal of human life is to actually spend time developing spirituality. So people are so engrossed earning material wealth, they do not have time to earn spiritual wealth. So all of us have this independence, and this free will is called Swatantrata Ratna. It is also a great wealth. It is also a very great treasure. And that is the treasure of the free will. How we use it in Krishna's service, that is very crucial. So therefore, arthasya sadhane, and secondly, siddhe. There is great anxiety even after attainment. After the wealth is attained, and we have the example of Indra. Indra's example is routinely used in Srimad Bhagavatam to give us an idea that even after earning wealth and having all opulences, one can never be free from anxiety. So one time Indra was sitting, watching the Apsaras dancing, and at that point his guru, spiritual master Brihaspati, entered. And Indra was so engrossed in this enjoyment that he did not observe Brihaspati entering. Because he was so intoxicated by that. And when Brihaspati entered, Indra did not offer any obeisances, did not show respect. And Brihaspati got offended and he left. So from Indra's point of view, he didn't feel he made a mistake. Because he felt, this is my time to enjoy. How dare he enter into this time? You know, my life is compartmentalized. Certain times meant for spirituality, certain times meant for sense gratification. And I've planned my whole life properly. So that's how people many times feel. So Indra was in his own world, and when Brihaspati came, he felt offended and left. Indra got bewildered. He realized that I have to do prayaschitta. So in one of the verses he says that ko gridhyet pandito lakshmin tripishta patate harer, that I have all the Lakshmi, all the money, but that Lakshmi, that money has actually made me so proud, it has blinded me. And therefore I regret having earned all of this money and becoming proud because of that. That I could not even recognize my spiritual master who came at this point. So he says, Yayaham asuram bhavam nitoham vibhudeshwara. Because of this, I was overwhelmed by asuram bhavam. I was overwhelmed by demoniac quality. Chitraketu Maharaj, he was also so rich. He was such a powerful king. He owned practically the whole planet. So much of wealth at his disposal. So when one is successful in earning wealth, one starts feeling that I can get anything. The sense of attainment is so strong that one feels I can attain anything and everything. But Chitraketu Maharaj had earned a lot of wealth, but he could not get a single son. And therefore he was extremely frustrated. And Bhagavatam describes that Chitraketu Maharaj, he first got married to one lady. He could not get a son. So he got married to another lady. He could not get a son. He got married to another lady. And in this way he went on marrying, and ultimately he had 1 crore wives. Can you imagine? That's the kind of, you know, population of Mumbai. 1 crore wives. You cannot imagine how much time was spent in marrying. If each marriage takes sufficient time, for 1 crore marriages, how much time must have taken? So much time was spent in marrying. And in spite of that, he was still miserable. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he speaks his realization that I have all the wealth, but because one of my desires is not fulfilled, my experience is just like a person who is completely starving. Just like when we do a Nirjal Ekadashi, so we are very eager to break the fast the next day. You know, of course, we start preparing even before Nirjal by having excess water. And on the day of the Nirjal, wherever we see water, we get bewildered. And we are waiting when we'll break that fast. So on the Dwadashi day, we are ready to break the fast. We come to the Prasadam hall. Everything is set up. We see buckets of lemon juice kept ready. It looks really cool, refreshing. The servers are also ready. The mats are also set out. We are kindly invited to sit. And we have brought our glass, extra big, to make sure that we have sufficient. And then the person who is serving comes up and offers obeisances and says, "Thank you for coming, Prabhu." Says, okay, start. He comes up with a garland and offers the garland. "Prabhu, please accept my worship." Said, "Okay, that's all right. Let's break the fast." He comes up and takes chandan and applies it. Very cooling. But we don't want cooling sensation here. We want it here. Then he comes up and brings the chadar and says, "Please, Prabhu, congratulations for completing the fast. Take this." And by this time we are so frustrated, we get up and go and have the bucket ourselves. Because we are just wanting the water at that time. So Chitraketu Maharaj says, when a thirsty person is extremely suffering because of the thirst, he cannot be satisfied by anything except the water. He needs to have only that water and nothing else. So Chitraketu Maharaj says, my condition is, I have all this wealth, I have all these opulences, but because I don't have the sun, my condition is like that of a thirsting and fasting person who simply offered garland after garland. That's not going to satisfy me. So therefore, there is no freedom from dissatisfaction and misery even after earning the wealth. Just like there was this restaurant board, I was traveling somewhere in South India, and you know, there was this restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant had put up a board in front of the restaurant. Very unique kind of appeal. And it was an appeal to the customer. Said, "Stop and please come in before both of us starve to death." So the restaurant owner is telling the hungry customer that you are also starving, and if you don't eat here, I will also starve. Please come in before both of us starve to death. So even after we have made all plans for successful enterprise, there is still anxiety. Whether the customer will come, not come, what will happen, how it will happen. So trasa chinta, the anxiety is there. Prabhupada said, somebody asked Prabhupada, is there a place on this planet which is just like the heavenly planets? No anxiety. And Prabhupada said, this material world is a place of misery, it has to be full of anxiety. But if on this planet, if you want to go to a place which is nearest to the heavenly planets, Prabhupada said it is like Hawaii. Hawaii, you know, in America. So of course in India we have a different conception of Hawaii chappal. That's not, you know, considered very premium. So when Prabhupada was about to go, so one of the devotees, he heard that Prabhupada is coming. So he thought, I'll act as the tour guide to Prabhupada when Prabhupada comes. So he learned everything about Hawaii, all the facts and figures, because he thought on the morning walk Prabhupada will ask some questions and I will answer. So he read all the books on Hawaii. All the origin, the history, the geography, the different activities which are going on. Whatever he thought Prabhupada could possibly ask. So when Prabhupada came, he went on the morning walk. And this gentleman was just waiting that when the question comes, I have all the answers. And that day Prabhupada did not speak at all. He was just chanting japa all along. And then suddenly Prabhupada stopped. And then turned to one machine which was set up there. And Prabhupada turned to that machine and said, what is that? And this devotee had learned everything, but he couldn't figure out what that machine was. And then he was trying his best to find out. And then some other devotee came up and said, Prabhupada, I think this is one of the machines which is used to track what is your distance from the point you leave this place. How long you walk and come back. So people use this as tracking meter. What is your distance you have walked? So Prabhupada turned to this devotee who had prepared everything and said, is there a machine which can track the distance of how close you are to death? And he didn't have the answer. And he was just thinking, I studied so many facts, so many figures about Hawaii. And ultimately Prabhupada asked this question. And Prabhupada said, there is only one solution, Srimad Bhagavatam. Death can come at any moment and we have to be prepared. So therefore, even in the most opulent situation, we are always facing the influence of misery and death. So sadhane and siddhe, even if we earn, there is no guarantee that life will be peaceful and blissful and free from anxiety. Then, utkarshe means to increase. That is also a very big anxiety. How to increase the wealth? That creates tremendous amount of anxiety. As it is said in the Niti Shastra, asha nam manushya nam kachit ascharya shrinkala. Baddha eva pradhavanti mukta tishthanti panguvat. That the desire is such a strange phenomena that when someone has desires, it is said it is just like a chain which acts in very unique way. Material desire is like a chain which acts in such a way that baddha eva pradhavanti, that those who are bound by this chain, they are very active. And they run about like anything. And mukta tishtanti panguvat. And those who are not bound by this chain of desire, they sit at one place, completely self-satisfied. And they are not chasing after the mirage of material sense gratification. So that is the chain of this desire, material desire. And therefore, it impels one to run after all kinds of sense gratification. And because we have these desires, there is envy in the heart, and each one of us is trying to increase and get a situation which others have. So the sense of competition as Bhagavatam describes, that shrutam cha drishtam dushtam spardha asuya atyaya vyayai bhuvantaraya kamatvat krishiya chapi nishvalam. So one does not have wealth now. He thinks, if I get that much of wealth which he has, then I will be happy. Shrutam cha drishtavat dushtam. So I don't have a certain experience. I see someone else and I think, yes, I should also do that. But spardha asuya atyaya. And therefore one indulges in all kinds of, you know, activities of sense gratification, competition and envy. And that creates tremendous amount of anxiety. So we see that this is a very, very powerful principle which destroys the character of human beings. Just like recently someone was telling me that this gentleman was working very hard in the Indian Air Force. And then he put all of his money in a business. But because he still had a few years more to retire, so he didn't have any, you know, legal papers or whatever. And he just thought, let me trust my friends. And he put all of his money, and then after a few years, they just ditched him. And he was so affected, so bewildered, he didn't know what to do. And then ultimately he started doing a job again. And then gradually he started rising up. And then he came into a company where devotees were working. And then he came in contact with devotees in that company. His boss was a devotee. And one of the first things his boss told him when he met him was, ultimately, any amount of wealth you earn, you'll always be miserable. And as soon as he heard that, he said, yeah, that's exactly true. My personal experience. Now he started chanting 8 rounds, coming regularly to the programs. And he said, I got that realization, I got that experience, that ultimately whatever one may do, according to certain karmic reactions, we will receive something and something will be taken away. We cannot avoid it. Therefore, one has to be satisfied with what one has. Very important to understand that. One cannot imitate someone else. That's not possible. Just like one of our devotees was telling us that when he heard His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj giving talks, and when Maharaj is giving talks and he gives lectures, so he makes all these sound effects of different, you know, Vrindavan forest and cows and animals and dogs and monkeys and all that. So he was very inspired, and he thought that this is a very good way to capture the audience. So in one of his classes he also tried to make the sound of the cows. So he made the sound of the cows as he had heard. And after the class, one of the, you know, audience came forward and asked him, what animal was that? He said, well, it was the moving of the cow. You didn't like it? He said, well, it didn't sound like that. He said, well, they were Bombay cows. And after that he said, I've never tried. Never tried doing that. Right? So all of us have that experience. We try something and it doesn't happen. So we should appreciate we have a certain capacity at all levels, and the laws of karma are acting upon us. We should accept it. And the anxiety comes because we are trying to go beyond our capacity. Sadhane siddhe utkarshe. So people are in anxiety. Let me earn more and more and more. And rakshane, and trying to protect, that also creates anxiety. And the example is given that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lakshmi Devis are continuously trying to serve in Vaikuntha. Shri Rupini Kwanayati Charanaravindam Leelam Bujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha Samlakshate Svatika Kudya Upetya Hemni Sammarjativa. They are continuously sweeping the floor. Shri Rupini Kwanayati Charanaravindam. Although their anklets are made of gold, All of their ornaments are made of rubies and emeralds. They are so opulent. They are bedecked with all kinds of jewels. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the spiritual world there is no dust. But why these Lakshmis are engaged in cleaning? Because the Lakshmi is called Chanchala. In the spiritual world, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, she is hankering to have the fortune to serve Lord Vishnu. And therefore the goddess of fortune considers herself unfortunate till she gets the fortune of service to Lord Vishnu. So therefore an opportunity to serve Lord Vishnu is a greater fortune than having all the fortune. Because that's how goddess of fortune herself is engaged. So therefore it is described here that Rakshane, if one simply feels that I need all the time and energy to protect my wealth and I do not have time to serve Krishna, I do not have time to spend time for Krishna consciousness, that is the greatest misfortune. And Rakshane and Vyaye, Vyaye means to spend. There is the example of in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Vasudeva Datta. He was so much glorified by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his magnanimity. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned him that you are so magnanimous that whatever you earn, you give it away. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Shivananda Sen and told him that Vasudeva Datta is very magnanimous, but he is grihastha. Parama udara iho ye dina ye aise sei dina vyaya kare nahi rakhe sheshe. Whatever he earns, he gives it away that day. He is parama udara, he is too much merciful. Therefore, I want you to become his secretary or finance manager. Grihastha hoyena iho chahiye sanchay sanchayena koile kutumba bharna nahi hoye. If someone is a grihastha, then he has to manage his finances properly. Otherwise, he cannot maintain his grihastha ashram. Sanchayena koile kutumba bharna nahi hoye. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Vasudeva Datta as the most magnanimous personality. But he did not accept this particular principle that he is not saving sufficient to maintain his family. So one of the grihastha dharma is actually to save and manage finances properly. And therefore if one indulges in overspending and liberally spending beyond one's capacity, that is also not proper. So one has to know the right balance on, you know, what exactly one should do. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada in one of his lectures gives five principles how wealth should be utilized in a grihastha ashram. Very beautiful points Prabhupada says. So money in general will be the cause of all these anxieties at all levels. Sadhane, siddhe, utkarshe, rakshane, vyaye, when you are trying to do all these things. But you can become free from anxiety by utilizing in these five ways. And the first is, use it for the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wealth must be used for worshipping the Supreme Lord. Very important. Advaita Acharya is a great example. Madhya Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, Acharyera Shraddha Bhakti Graha Sampadhane Sakala Safala Hoila Prabhur Aradhane. Advaita Acharya utilized all of his paraphernalia at home to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Acharyera Shraddha, his faith, bhakti, devotion, dhana, griha, his house, sampat, opulences and dhane. All these five things were utilized by Sri Advaita Acharya. Sakala Safala, he made all of these successful by Prabhur Aradhane, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead using all of these. So Prabhupada says in one of his purports, that one must try to serve the devotees without duplicity, honestly. And when one engages all of one's wealth and resources in serving honestly, then one becomes free from the influence of one of Prabhupada's servants. Not a servant, but he was in the temple where Prabhupada was there, and he was thinking that I need to get this pair of slippers which Prabhupada keeps outside his, you know, door. So what I'll do is I'll buy a new pair of slippers and keep it there and take the old pair away. And when Prabhupada uses this new pair of slippers once and comes back and keeps it, that becomes Prabhupada Maha. So I'll keep the old slippers back and take these slippers as Prabhupada's Maha and keep it as paraphernalia for the rest of my life. A very well thought out plan. So he checked out what was the exact make of the slippers and everything. He went and brought it and kept it. And he took Prabhupada's old slippers, thinking that only for one day I'll take it and keep it back. So he returned back the next day to retrieve his Maha, and there were no slippers outside the door. And he was searching here and there outside frantically, and Prabhupada's servant came out. And Prabhupada's servant came out and he said, "So you are Bhaskar Prabhu?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I have messages from Srila Prabhupada for you." He said, "What is that?" He said, "First message Prabhupada has given to you is, thank you for the new pair of slippers. Second message is, keep the old pair of slippers as a gift from me. And third message is, don't try to cheat the spiritual master. If you want something, be honest. Serve honestly." So therefore, very important that we have this cheating propensity. And therefore, in the purport to Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, Ekeha Kurunandana, Chakravarti Pad says, out of the four defects, one can overcome this defect of cheating propensity by taking the instructions of the spiritual master as one's life and soul and serving the devotees honestly. Acharyara Shraddha Bhakti Griha Sampadhani. And honestly also means using one's intelligence on, you know, how one can actually improve things to make the devotees happy and satisfied. Like our Peter Barwash Prabhu was giving a seminar in Vrindavan recently, and he was speaking about his experience that, you know, he just called up one of the temples and he said, "I want to meet so and so Maharaj." And the person who picked up the phone, he said, "Well, I don't know where he is." He said, "But he's in the temple, try to find him out." He said, "Well, you come and find him out." He said, "Please, can you give a message to him?" He said, "I don't remember messages." So he said, "Well, can you write down a message? Do you have a pen?" He said, "Yes." So, okay, take down the message. And then he spoke the whole message. And then just to reconfirm, he said, "So did you get it?" He says, "No." He said, "Do you have a pen?" He said, "Yeah, I had the pen, but I don't have the paper." So he said, by hearing that answer, any ordinary person would have felt, never I should come here. Because this is how you are treating someone who is very eager to come. But because I had already met Srila Prabhupada and I had that connection, so although there was an experience like this, still I did not give up. So each devotee is representing the mission, and he must perform service in a way that people get a great experience when they interact. So therefore, all of one's paraphernalia can be used in Krishna's service. And that is the first principle of how to use wealth. Worship the Supreme Lord. Secondly, one must receive Vaishnavas at home. Use the wealth to host devotees, to receive the devotees. And the example is of Sudama. When Sudama came, Krishna was so eager to receive Sudama, showing by his own example. And it is said that योसौ त्रिलोक गुरुणा श्रीनिवासेन संवृतम पर्यंकस्तम श्रियम हित्वा परिश्वक्तो अग्रजो. द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर ऑफ थ्री वर्ल्ड्स अपियर्ड देयर. श्रीनिवासेन संवृत, दैट पर्सन हु हैज श्री और लक्ष्मी ऑन द चेस्ट. पर्यंकस्तम श्रियम हित्वा, एंड लॉर्ड कृष्णा गेव अप द एसोसिएशन ऑफ श्री और लक्ष्मी और रुक्मिणी देवी फ्रॉम द बेड ऑन विच ही वॉज सिटिंग, फ्रॉम द थ्रोन ही वॉज सिटिंग. श्रियम हित्वा परिश्वक्तो अग्रजो यथा, एंड ही एम्ब्रेस्ड सुदामा. सो वन मस्ट बी एक्सट्रीमली ईगर टू रिसीव एंड सर्व डिवोटीज एंड यूज ऑल ऑफ वन्स पैराफर्नेलिया फॉर दिस पर्पस. That's a very, very important principle. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us that opportunity that convert the home into a temple. Convert the home into a temple, keep deities, and then when people come, they see the deities, get attracted, and they get transformed. That's a very wonderful way of connecting. Like Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and how Prabhupada was so sensitive, so there was someone who was, you know, traveling with a dog. One lady was carrying a dog on a morning walk, and Prabhupada came to this lady and said, "Good morning to you," and turned to the dog, and Prabhupada said to the dog, "And good morning to the dog also." And this lady was so affected, she followed Prabhupada on the morning walk and came right to the temple. And Prabhupada was like, you know, just small dealings, he could touch people's heart. So when people come, they have to be received well and they have to be dealt with very nicely, because they are experiencing miseries of material existence. So all of one's paraphernalia must be used for that sake. And ultimately, it will all have effect when one has proper dealing. And that's what Sudama experienced, that because Krishna dealt with him so nicely, all the paraphernalia was used to serve him, but the dealings were so nice, he got a wonderful experience. Shwabhute vishwabhavena स्वसुखेनाभिवंदित जगाम स्वालयम तात पथिम अनुव्रज नंदित. बिकॉज ही वॉज वर्शिप्ड एंड रेस्पेक्टेड बाय कृष्णा, सो ऑल ऑफ दिस रिसेप्शन विल हैव नो इफेक्ट इफ द रेस्पेक्ट इज नॉट गिवन. सो देयरफॉर बिकॉज दैट रेस्पेक्ट विच कृष्णा गेव दैट टच्ड हिम सो मच, पथिम अनुव्रज नंदित, ही बिकेम एक्सटैटिक, ही बिकेम ब्लिसफुल एंड हैप्पी. So therefore, this is the most important ingredient when one receives devotees, that all of one's paraphernalia and wealth and everything must be used, but with great respect. And the third thing Prabhupada says is that one must distribute prasadam to the public. Utilize the wealth in distributing prasad. Very important. That is how wealth must be used. So, Mahaprabhu, when he saw that there was so much of prasadam left, he told Govinda to distribute it. This was in the Jagannath Vallabh garden. And he said that, Prabhur agyaya Govinda dina hina jane dukhi kangala kariya bhojane. He called all of those who were poor and hungry and fed them prasad. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw them and said, Kangalera bhojan ranga dekhe gaur hari, hari bol bolitare upadesh kari. And he told them, you are taking this prasad, but also chant the holy names. So distribution of prasad means that we are giving them an opportunity to understand, I am the servant of Krishna. Misery is eradicated by understanding that जीव कृष्ण दास ए विश्वास कर ले आर दुख नाय. Therefore Mahaprabhu distributed this prasadam and gave them the understanding, I am the servant of the Lord. Like one time one guest came to our restaurant, and it was in the 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there was no one in the restaurant. So I was talking to one gentleman, and this man came in, sat down, he looked at me and he thought I'm one of the waiters, he called me. I said, any dosa is available? I said, yes. So get me one dosa. So I went in and gave an order. I continued talking to this other man. And in the meantime, one waiter came in and asked this man, what is your order? He said, I already ordered. So whom did you order? And he pointed to me. This waiter was in chaperon. So he said, well, he's not a waiter. He's one of the sadhus here. And he gives lectures on the Gita. And by the time the dosa came in, this man said, oh, he gives lecture on Gita. I want to hear Gita. Tell him to sit and speak to me. So this waiter came to me and said, hey, he wants to hear the Gita. So I sat down in front of him. And he started eating the dosa. And I started telling him, the whole essence of Gita is how all of us are suffering. Are you suffering or not? He said, yeah, very much. Continued eating. And I started explaining the whole Gita course in 5 minutes, in brief. And then within 5 minutes he came to the conclusion, yes, I am suffering, I have understood, I am convinced, I don't need further convincing. What is the solution? I said, chant Hare Krishna. Okay, how do you chant? You chant, you know, on the beads. Where are the beads? Well, I went to the gift stall, got the beads. And then by the time he washed his hand, finished the dosa, he took the mala and started chanting. By the time one dosa is over, he understood the effect of prasad. Then as he was having the prasadam, he was undergoing that transformation. So therefore, distribution of prasadam, very important. Like I was telling this in Prerna lecture, that there was one man who had a brain operation and he lost sensation of his tongue. And he couldn't taste anything. Then he came to an ISKCON temple, go in the restaurant and he ate. And immediately he got the taste. He got bewildered, he went on eating because after a long time he was getting the taste. He went home, tried some sandwich, no taste. Again came back next day in the restaurant, again taste. This went on for 1 month and then he finally decided maybe it's the Lord's plan, I must stay here. And then he joined the temple. You know, one of our other customers in the restaurant, because there's not advertisement for Govindas. And he was working in a big, you know, finance firm as a director. And he was, you know, he was paying a monthly rent of 4 or 5 lakhs. But because he was from a pious family, he wanted to eat only prasad. So he was coming to a restaurant every day. So one day, he saw that all the tables were being moved. So he said, what's going on? So he said, there's a program going to happen. So he said, well, I'm not interested. And one of the stewards, he said, no, you'll like it. Your life will change. But then how can I sit and hear? I have not sat and heard lecture for a long time. So the steward was very intelligent. He said, I'll give you ice cream. And I'll give you the ice cream, you keep eating the ice cream as the lecture is going on. So you'll eat the ice cream and you hear also. So you're not wasting your time. He said, very good idea. But I don't want him to see me. Because, you know, some of these people have very mystic power and, you know, they may cast a spell and my hairstyle will change. So the steward was very intelligent. He said, no problem, there is this pillar and you sit behind the pillar. So behind the pillar he ate and he ate 1 kilo of ice cream. As the lecture was going on. And as he was hearing, because he was coming from a pious family, it was, you know, lecture on Vrindavan and this and that. He just remembered his childhood. And when he paid the bill, he told that, I think I have to go back to my roots. That's what I've heard from my mother, from my grandmother, and I think I should start again. Then he gradually started chanting, you know, a few rounds. You know, 2 rounds, 4 rounds, 8 rounds. And now he started chanting 8 rounds. And he recently came on a yatra with us to Vrindavan. And he did the full, in half the parikrama he did. And he sponsored the prasadam. And he said that since prasadam changed my life, I must reciprocate by giving prasadam to the devotees. So, people from all kinds of backgrounds with all kinds of educational qualifications. But the purification happens by the touch of Krishna coming in the form of prasadam. So this is the third principle, distributing prasadam to the public, And fourth is to distribute prasadam to other living entities, to other jivas. Also very important. Like Lord Chaitanya gave to the dog and delivered the dog. And like one devotee was, the Western devotee was in the South India preaching. So someone came to him, one pujari from one Sri Vaishnava temple came and said that you are from the West, why are you worshipping Lord Krishna? You should be worshipping Lord Ram, because Krishna is Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahman Hitayacha. So you are not born in Brahman family, you know, and you have not been serving cows, so you will not get Krishna's mercy. So you better worship Lord Ram. You know, he is very compassionate. He even deals with monkeys and this and that. So he is very equal to all. And this devotee said, no, actually speaking, if you compare Ram and Krishna, Ram is stricter than Krishna. Because Ram engaged all the monkeys in heavy service. Whereas Krishna simply distributed prasad to the monkeys. Ram cut the nose of Surpanaka. Krishna interacted with the deformed Kubja and made her beautiful. And Ram rejected Sita because he just felt she has interacted with Ravan or something and made her go through whole Agni Pariksha. Krishna went and married 16,108 queens, although they were kidnapped and held captive. So who is more merciful? Krishna. Therefore we need Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is so merciful even in his pastimes. In Vrindavan, he is just distributing mercy to all different kinds of living entities. And therefore this is the fourth principle. And fifth is, one should also utilize wealth for one's own maintenance. So after these four, then the fifth comes. To take care of yourself, family, requirements, everything. So in this way, if the wealth is distributed in worshipping the Supreme Lord, in receiving devotees, distributing prasad to public, giving food to other living entities, and taking care of one's own requirements, then one will not be affected by the negative effects and influences of wealth. So thus, in this particular purport, we see this principle. From the bumblebee, I have learned to be unattached to accumulating money. For although money is as good as honey, anyone can kill its owner and take it away. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Tai Gop Premanande.